So yesterday, I was reading the Morning Berkshire Eagle, and I read these articles. In Sacramento, a young, unarmed African-American man was sitting in his grandmother's backyard and was shot 7 or 8 times by the police. The EPA has decided to roll back auto emission standards because apparently public health is no longer a concern. As the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination comes to us this week, most African Americans feel that the goals of the civil rights movement have not yet been met. The Sonsini Animal Shelter has been plunged into chaos with fights between administrators, and it's all into the courts. The Russians are building a new generation of intercontinental ballistic missiles that'll be faster and deadlier than ever. Violence, threat, hostility, greed, bigotry, intimidation, tragedy, sorrow, grief. This is the world we know. This is the world of fear. There is too much of death and destruction in this world, what the Bible calls the world of sin. This is the world that the women, on their way to the tomb, early on that first day of the week, knew intimately. The world of fear, the violence that had led to the crucifixion, the insatiable greed and grasping of the Roman Empire, the fear that just simply defined their lives and hemmed them in on every side. It was like a great stone rolled in front of them that blocked out all of the light. But like all of us, like all human beings through all of time, these women had been born and had lived with these hints and intimations, this sense that the world we inhabit is not the world that should be, is not the world that could be, that's not the world that was meant to be. They knew in their very bones that things should be different, that something needed to happen, something needed to change. And they had thought they had seen that something. Jesus, the rabbi from Nazareth, who healed and taught and set people free from bondage from Galilee to Judea to Jerusalem, the one who had confronted the bigotry and the hate and the greed of his day, confronting the violence with the power of love, they had hoped that he would be the one, that he would roll aside the stone so that a new world could be born out of this old, worn-out world. But instead, he had been crushed by that very stone. Light had been extinguished, the door slammed. There was no other world. There was no other possibility. There was nothing other than sorrow and grief and tragedy. And so they walked their lonesome road. And in its own way, the grief, the familiarity of grief was a comfort to them. They knew how to grieve. They'd done it before. It was all that was left to them as morning dawned on that first day of the week. And then the unexpected. The stone, that great stone, had been rolled away. Jesus was not in the tomb. Jesus had been risen. The angel sitting there in the tomb, as relaxed as anyone, said, "Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. Tell Peter and the disciples, all of you, go to Galilee. He'll be there." But instead, the women flee out of the tomb in terror and amazement and say nothing to anyone. What's with that? Well, to put it simply, to be set free from fear can be a very terrifying thing. To be set free from fear can be a very terrifying thing. It was so sudden. It was such a shock. The stone is gone. Jesus is present. Jesus is risen from the tomb, beyond all the powers of death and destruction. What does that mean? Where will that lead? Who is this God that transforms crucifixion into resurrection? Who is this God whose own very son can be murdered, and instead of responding in wrath and turning the earth into a cinder, this God very quietly and simply says, "Go, go to Galilee, follow on a journey." What's with this? And so the women are bewildered. They're confused. They're terrified. It's like being thrown off a cliff. They have no idea where they'll land. They'll have no idea how they'll land. And Mark doesn't tell us. Mark simply doesn't tell us. He leaves the reader just staring into the open door of possibility. Mark trusts that all of us with ears to hear will follow the women out of the tomb, through and beyond their fear, to Galilee, towards that new world where Christ is present, where Christ is alive, leading us into life. Those hints, those intimations of such life, that sense that we all have deep down within us of human dignity and justice and compassion, each of us comes into the world with those gifts. We come into the world, those little ones, like we can still see it on their faces. They come into the world with dignity, justice, compassion, carrying them like treasure. And it's those very gifts that get crushed by the sin and betrayal of this world. The stuff we read about in the daily news. All of that stuff is so familiar to us. This world of fear. And so we forget that there's something more, that there's treasure within us and among us that can shine through us. We forget all that. And so Jesus came, and Jesus comes, and Jesus will keep coming to wake us up, to forgive us for our participation in the mess, and to set us free from this world of fear so that we can go beyond the darkness and encounter the light eternal that's shining right here, right now. Shining in the face of the person next to you. Shining in the face of the person across from you, some line of difference, but it's shining there also. Shining in the face of the one who seems so strange and weird to you. For it is to each of us that the gift comes. It's to each of us that the stone rolls aside and sets us on a path to Galilee, towards the fulfillment of the truth that we are all the children of the God who raises us from the tomb. May we rise. May we follow. May we discover. Amen.